I have a sermon right here, but I'm not going to do that. I had three people ask me a question today. Three people asked me the same question. Yeah, three people. And isn't that strange? And so while I was sitting over here, I wrote my outline right here. All right. This is Wing It 101, okay? Let me answer the question. All right, let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I may do this one Christmas Eve. Maybe, we'll see. All right, Luke chapter 2. This is the story from Luke's perspective of the birth of Christ. And you probably know these words by heart, but you follow along as I read. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David." All right, so those of you in the Conquerors class, do you remember your little test that you had Monday night? And one of the answers on one side was the city of David. All right, and the other answer was what? You remember? Bethlehem, exactly right. So Bethlehem was the city of David. All right, so they went from Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem in Judea to the city of David. David was from Bethlehem. So, city of David, which is called Bethlehem, parentheses, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his, what's the next word? Espoused wife. All right, so the question that three people asked me this morning is, what did it mean that Joseph, or that Mary was espoused to Joseph? What does that mean? And I think I can answer that for you tonight, and in so doing, show you a beautiful picture of what the relationship that we have as the church with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll look at this. All right, Father, thank you now for what we have heard already this evening. Thank you for the beautiful hymns we have sung. Thank you for the choir song. Thank you for the teenagers singing for us this evening. And I pray now that you will bless the Word of God as we look at this little word tonight. And I pray that you will help us to understand and to see the pictures and to see the point and what is being said here when it talks about how Mary was espoused to Joseph. And so just bless and help us now as we open the scriptures, and we'll give you the praise and glory for what is accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, this little word, espoused. Three people asked me today, what does it mean that Mary was espoused to Joseph? Now, let's stop and think for a minute about our culture today. All right, let's just stop and think about our culture here in America. Okay, we have a society today where the potential groom, the future groom, will go to a jewelry store and he will buy a diamond ring. All right? Now, how many of you girls got a diamond when he asked you to marry him? Raise your hand. Sure you did. All right? That's what we do in our culture. The guys go to the jewelry store and they buy as big of a rock as they can afford. All right? And then I had this little rule in my home that if you wanted to marry one of my girls, you had to take me out to a steak dinner and you had to get my permission. Hey guys, come on now. That's right. Yes, sir. None of this behind my back stuff. I want to know what's going on and I want to eat good when I learn it. So I got taken out to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Oh yes, oh yes. And I got to Porterhouse Steak. Oh yes, and I made them beg. I made them beg. Yes, indeed. Now they went then and bought rings, and after they got my blessing, and they asked them to marry and gave the ring. Now, that ring served a purpose. We call that, in our culture today, the engagement period, right? Remember that? All right, so you had a certain amount of time, several months or a year or whatever, and you were considered engaged. Now, what that engagement ring meant was that you are taken and you are spoken for. Now, here in our culture, that's how we do it. But now, not every culture does it the same way. And that's even today in our world. Not every culture does it the same way. And especially back years ago. Now, I want you to stop and think about something here real quickly. 2,000 years ago, you could not have gone to the Bethlehem Jewelry Exchange. There was no such thing. You could not go down and look at the De Beers collection of diamonds. There was no such thing. And the way they did it back in Bible times was the fathers normally got together and they decided the marriage. The father of a man would approach the father of a young lady. Now I would like to think that it was a young lady that young man was interested in, but that was not always the case. Sometimes it was done out of convenience. Sometimes it was done out of just sheer, I got to get this boy married. He's eating us out of house and home. That type of thing. Sometimes it was of necessity. Sometimes it was work related. But nonetheless, the fathers got together and they discussed the arrangement and they made the preparation. Now, once the fathers sat down and talked, what was decided upon was a dowry. And instead of the man going to a jewelry store and spending thousands of dollars on a ring that he was going to give to his future bride as a dowry, the fathers would work out a dowry, and the father of the bride would say to the father of the groom, "Well, if you want my daughter, it's going to cost you this amount." And a lot of times it was farm animals, it was land, it was farm animals and land, or it was farm animals, land, and money. It just depended upon the wealth and the availability of the father of the groom as to how much the father of the bride would try to get out of him. All right, so that was the idea of it in Bible times. They did not go to the jewelry store and buy a ring, put it on her finger, and say, "This is my fiance, and she's taken, and we're going to get married in 6 months or a year," whatever the case may be. You say, well, what was the purpose for this agreement and all this? Well, the fathers would get together, and a dowry was decided on. And then once that dowry was decided on, the boy and his family, groom and his family would then start the process of building on to his father's house and a place where the new bride and groom would live and raise their family. And it was normally the arrangement that the son would go into the business with the father and would build on to the house of his parents and would raise his children and his family in one big family, big house, where their part was connected to the parents' part. Now, they did not know how long it was going to take to build that room onto the house. And it was different for every family. Some had more money than others. Some had bigger ideas and bigger plans and bigger drawings, and it would take longer. And they made kind of a game out of it. They made a mystery out of it back in Bible times. It helped with the courtship, and it helped with the surprise element and so on. Once the arrangement was made and the fathers shook hands, they were under the eyes of the law married. Now you've got to understand that. When the dads shook hands, they were married. It was the espousal period. When they were espoused to one another. And that was done by a handshake. They did not call the justice of the peace and have a ceremony. They did not call the rabbi and have a ceremony. No, the fathers shook hands, and the father of the bride gave his daughter to the man that she was espoused to, and they were married. In the eyes of the law, they were a married couple at that time. And that's what it means in the espousal. You say, why then did they not live as husband and wife? Well, because they had to build on to the house so that, and that was a part of the agreement, so that this girl, this father, was not taking his daughter and just throwing her into a mess. It was arranged that the house would be added onto, and they would have their own dwelling. They would have their own space. And so there was a commitment involved on the man's part. And so they would then separate. She would stay with her family until he built his house. That house is called a huppah, and it's spelled C-H-U-P-P-A-H. And you know that in Jewish weddings, they have a little canopy, and they call that canopy a huppah. And so that is what the groom would go back to his parents' home and build a huppah. And she then, and this is where the games would begin, so to speak. This is where the fun would begin. She would send her bridesmaids. She would choose her bridesmaids, and she would send her bridesmaids to go past his house to see how things were coming along. And then they would giggle and run back and tell her. And then they would all sit around and say, well, at the rate he's going, he should be ready by, next Saturday, say. All right? And so they would start getting ready for the wedding. All right? You with me on that? And she didn't know when he was coming. But you mark it down, he was going to come the minute he got finished. Not a minute sooner, not a minute later. As soon as he got everything done, it didn't make any difference if it was midnight. When he got done, he was going to take his groomsmen and they were going to carry him down to her house, making noise and singing and laughing, and they were going to go in and just burst through the door, and he was going to take his bride out of her father's house, and then you get the rabbi, and then you have the ceremony, and then you party, and you enjoy, and you laugh, and the families all come together, and then they go into the huppah as husband and wife. And that's how it was done in Bible times. All right, everybody understand that? And so what you've got here, let's go to Matthew for just a minute. I read that to you this morning as well. And let me show you that this is consistent. This espoused period is consistent with what is found in Matthew, and it's also consistent in the Gospel of Luke. But look at Matthew. In verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was, what's the next word? Espoused to Joseph. Watch this now. Before they came together. All right, so that was the espousal period. In other words, she was not living with him as husband and wife. They were, quote unquote, engaged. But it's not an engagement from the standpoint that this was a marriage. This was legal. They were legally married. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, look at the next phrase. She was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So during the espousal period, she was found with child. Watch this. When Joseph found that out, verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He thought at first that she had been unfaithful to him. She thought that he thought that she had been with somebody else. Now, do you know why? Because she was pregnant. And he knew he hadn't been with her. All right, so verse 20, watch this now. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Now it does not, listen, that's not saying, that is not saying, now look at it, read it carefully. It is not saying, hey, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary to be thy wife. There is no to be in there. Mary is his wife, espoused. That's been settled with a handshake. By law, they're married. All right? So, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And this was where the angel of the Lord told Joseph what was going on. In Luke is where Mary was told what was going on. And you'll remember, Luke made, as we saw this morning, Luke made sure we understood that that Mary was a virgin. And she said to Gabriel, "How can this be, seeing that I know not a man?" So it was during the espousal period when Joseph would have been preparing a place for her and him to live. Once he got that done, then they would have come together and lived together as husband and wife. All right, now, everybody follow that? All right, now, let me show you something neat. Go over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. All right, everybody got it? All right, look up here at me. Okay. The Lord Jesus refers to the church as his bride. He is the groom, and the church is the bride. Nod your head, you with me? All right, look at verse 1. In verse 1, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's been talking to the disciples about his death. He has been telling them, this is it. I'm gonna die. I'm going to go to the cross and die. And so they're all distraught. And he looks at them in verse 1 and says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Watch this now. "In my Father's house, remember, the groom goes back to his daddy's home, to his daddy's house, and builds on to the side of his daddy's house. And Jesus said to the disciples, "I'm getting ready to leave, but don't worry. In my Father's house are many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a huppah for you." You see it? I go to prepare a house, a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. All right, now, hold your place here and go over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Hold your place in John 14. We'll go back there in just a second. Matthew 25. You with me? Matthew 25, verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom," what's the next word? "Tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight." Now look up here, folks. Would you not knock him in the head if he showed up at midnight? Huh? Oh, that sorry thing. Wait till everybody gets sleep and then shows up. You know, here's the point. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. I mean, and stop and think of this. It's going to be in the middle of the night somewhere. You ever think about that? In our minds, we're all thinking when the Lord comes back, it's going to be, you know, bright and sunny outside. No, you may be in the middle of a dream, sound asleep, when the Lord comes back. It might be the middle of the night. The point is, you better be ready. That's the point. You better be ready, because he said he's coming. And verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Now watch, here's what they would do. That groom would be over here at his daddy's home, and he would be working, and he would be building, and he would be painting and getting everything ready and putting the doors on and putting the windows in. I mean, he's just making it ready. And then he pops his head out and he says, hey, boys, let's go. We're ready to go. And then they all get together. They carry him, and they're shouting, and they're carrying on, and they're having a time, and they're just waking everybody as they go down the street. And then here are her bridesmaids. They've been watching. They can see. They know it's getting close. He's almost done. And so they get their lamps, and they're thinking to themselves, okay, we're going to go over here and meet him when he comes. She's back here in her house sleeping, but they're out here waiting. They know he's coming soon, probably going to be tonight, but not 100% sure, could be tomorrow, but they're ready. And then they get weary and well doing. They get weary and well doing. And five of them don't have oil. Oil's a picture of the Holy Spirit in your Bible, by the way. And so they look over to ones that do have oil and say, can you give us oil? Oh, no, it doesn't work that way. You got to get your own oil. And they weren't ready. The point of this parable is be ready. But folks, look at the picture. The picture is that the bridegroom is coming. And the picture is when he comes, you better be ready. He could come tonight. Are you ready? Are you ready? Now go back to John. Go back to John. In my Father's house, verse 2, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You say, well, Pastor, why are there many mansions up there? Because of all them Old Testament saints. Hello? Y'all speak English here? Huh? You with me? You remember that when Jesus resurrected, all the Old Testament saints came out of paradise and went to heaven. Well, were they up there sleeping on the streets? No. There's mansions up there they're living in. And Jesus looked at the disciples and he said, I'm going up there to prepare a place for you. Hey, he's been up there 2,000 years, folks. And let me remind you, he was a carpenter. So I think he looks pretty good up there right now, wouldn't you? Think he's probably done a good job. And he said, just like the parable with the coming of the bridegroom, if I go, I will, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, listen. He went to prepare us a huppah. And he's coming back. When it's done, he's coming back. And I'm telling you, I think it's close to being done myself. You look at our world today and you look at the Bible, I think you'll agree we're living on borrowed time. So we better be ready, because this could be the day. I just think about it. I get excited. I get excited. I was looking at the news a while ago on the internet. And Netanyahu basically got up to this morning, and he told all of the Arab leaders to just get over it. That's basically what he said. Get over it. I mean, that's basically what he said. He told them to get over it. He said, the sooner you all just accept this, the better off we're all going to be as a world. Well, the time is drawing near. Somebody asked me this morning another question. Said, Pastor, when you were in Israel, did you hear a lot of talk about the building of the temple? No, didn't hear anything about that. And you know why we didn't? They've been ready to build over there for about 15 years now. They've got everything they need. Everything they need. They've got the inks that are on the priest's garment. They've got the colors just exactly the way they need them. They've got the ashes of the red heifer. They've got it all. They've got it all. So there's nothing holding the Lord from coming back. The bridegroom cometh, folks. He's been up there now preparing a place for us. And that's what this word espoused means. When you see this from henceforth, now, and forevermore, you will know what that meant. That meant the daddies got together and they decided, and it was legal. That's the way they did it. They didn't call the preacher back in those days. They didn't call the justice of the peace. They didn't have a magistrate. No, the daddies got together and the daddies shook hands and agreed. And they made the decision as to who married who. And then that father worked with his son, and they went back and built on to the house. Just like our Father, our Heavenly Father, has been working with his son, building mansions in his house for us. And he said, when I get it done, I'm going to come and get you. Well, Lord, any day now is fine with me. Amen and amen.